The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, let's dive in. Today we're going to be talking about authenticity. How can we live a Jesus-centered life in a selfie-centered world? Selfie is a new thing. A year ago on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, there was 35 million selfies a year ago in the month of November. 35 million. Selfie is a new, very popular, growing thing. How many of you know what a selfie is? Okay, most of you now know. So that leads us to our next thing, our Sunday morning selfie. Are you ready? Here we go. What kind of church am I sitting in? All right, here we go. Selfie time. 1, 2, 3. I see someone in the back. All right, that's a good one. We'll post that later. Hopefully we'll get some likes. All right, here we go. Selfies didn't exist. A year ago, 35 million selfies appeared in social media. Just this past month, there is, at the last count I looked, 170 million selfies just in the last month. It's growing. People are into this. When we were growing up, most of us, there was no such thing as selfie. You would never turn a camera on yourself. That was just kind of weird. In fact, getting a picture taken of yourself was usually avoided. How many of you remember picture day? Did anybody here actually enjoy picture day? My parents would dress me up in this lame suit and send me out the door choking on this tie. That's why I never wear ties anymore. Let the truth be known. And they'd send me off to school to have this terrible picture taken. And you know what? You waited in this long line and there was one take and that was it. If it was bad, oh well, that picture defined you in fourth grade for the rest of your life. You're stuck with it. It didn't matter if your hair was out of place, if you were blinking, if you had some kind of weird smirk on your face. It didn't matter at all. And to have fun with it, we pulled up some old yearbook photos. So here you go. Here's the first one. Some of you saw this a couple weeks ago. That is me. And yes, some people don't realize that was really me in my better days. That was not a perm. Okay, and it's not the 70s. That was 1986. Yeah, that kind of, it wasn't intentional. Yes, some of you are like, ooh, that's really, really bad. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what's going on with the pink shirt and the popped collar, but anyway, that was a rough one. Thank you for moving along. Who do you think that is? That is my wife. That is Brandy. Beautiful. You can leave that one up there all morning, okay? All right, let's see the next one. Okay, who do you think that is? Yes, that's Miss Terry. That's right. And next? Some of these are great. What? Who's that? Yes, that is Rob Major. If you don't know Rob, now you do. That was back in the surfer days. Keep going. Who do you think that is? That's the guilty guy in the back. Look, turn around and look at Larry working the soundboard. Yep. Guilty written right on his shirt. There he is. And next, he didn't know I stole that from him last night. It was on his phone. Who do you think that is? Who is it? Yes, that's Miss Donna. She's in the room somewhere, or off counting people or something. Oh, she's sitting right there. All right, next. This is her. Who do you think that is? Isn't that a great picture? That is awesome. That is Mike, her husband, sitting right there next to him. It looks just like Jacob, her son, doesn't it? All right, do we have another? Yes, this is the guy who wants to sign you up. This is the guy who wants to sign you up to join our setup teardown team and our sign team. And just after the first service, we have doubled our team. There was one on it earlier today, and now we have two on it. Okay, we doubled the team. So he's coming up to recruit you later today, okay? So selfies. It's a new thing. It's a new obsession. How many of you ever walked into a place where you saw someone taking a picture of themselves and they just didn't care who was looking? You've seen that? It's like common. Everybody does it. I was walking through a locker room and there was this guy. He was physically fit. So, you know, it wasn't like awkward in that way. But the awkward thing was he was standing in front of the mirror going like this. Click. Click. Click, and it just kept going and kept going and kept going. He just wouldn't stop. And what was really awkward is everybody in the locker room was staring at him, including the old naked guy. Yeah, I know. But there's always an old naked guy in the locker room. Have you ever noticed that? It's like they make a schedule. You take Monday, I'll take Tuesday, and we'll just creep everybody out. So anyway, selfies are a new thing, but they're up and coming. And what the thing is about social media is that many times, while there's great things with social media, we can be quick to get the word out about things. We can push and further our causes. We can connect with one another that we've not connected with a lot of time. Many times, though, there are some unintended consequences when it comes to social media. And we have to figure out how to break through and live the kind of lives and have the kind of relationships that Christ really calls us to. And one of the things that we also have found to be normal is that through social media, we can show people the me that we want them to see and not the people we really are. We can take a picture and you can filter it. If you've got that zit, you can edit it right out and it's no one would know it was ever there. You can even edit out a double chin. You can get the right angle just perfect so you can see the best side and you just kind of make it who you want it to be. And we also, not just with the pictures, but we go through and we craft the captions we want just to be perfect. We work really hard to make them clever but not too cheesy, to get just the right hashtag so people will affirm us. We post them and they're like, we go back and look, did anybody like it yet? Anybody like it yet? Why haven't they liked it yet? What's going on? Why aren't they responding to my post? And we find ourselves living for likes while longing for love. And we are having to fight this kind of this new way of life. Sociologists have said that most communication now is happening through the digital age, through digital media. Back ages ago, and not too many ages ago, when the phone rang, you had no caller ID. The only way to know who was on the other line was to what? Answer the phone, okay? But people now, a lot of young adults were polled, and they basically answered like this, you know, unless I know who's calling, I won't answer. And in order to make a call many times, they'll say that they script out what they're going to say because we're afraid of live, real-time conversation. That we don't get the opportunity to filter exactly what we want said drives us crazy. In fact, in my home, when those tough times come, when the tough calls need to be made, my wife and my kids won't make them. They're like, Dad, John, will you make that call? You know, the difficult calls like ordering a pizza. I'm like, just call them and say you want a cheese pizza. It's not that difficult. But we don't want to have real-time conversation. If someone writes us, we got to take back. We got to think, okay, how do I respond to this? And we craft it just right. And then we show it, forward it to 3 or 4 friends. How do you think this response is? You know, and that's how we're living. And we don't know how to live in real life, real time. And so we have to figure out how to get through the media, the filters that we put in our life and get to authenticity. When we planted Hope Hill Church, our desire was to plant a church where people are real with one another, where we come and we don't live behind fake filters and veils. We're going to get into that in a minute when we look at the scriptures. We want to be real. We want to get to know each other. We want to see you and we want you to see us, and that can be messy. But that's the kind of life that Christ calls us to. Christ came, he left the perfection of heaven, and he came down and entered into our mess to meet us where we are, to show us in spite of our mess how he can make beautiful lives out of the messiness of our life. And so we want to see this today. How can we live Jesus-centered life in the midst of a selfie-centered world? And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for our reading today. If you have notes, we provide notes for you. If you don't have notes, our ushers will pass them out. Just raise your hand, and our ushers will pass them out. On your notes, the first blank here, the question we're asking is, how is technology changing relationships today? The first one is, people are starting to fear and avoid unfiltered communication. We've become accustomed to being able to edit what we say, to filter what we show. And we, in some ways, even to the extent of creating online personalities, if you were to meet someone in real life, they're nothing like what you see online about the stuff they post. And that's just it, is we put out there the me we want people to see instead of the us that we really are. And so the more we filter our lives, the more difficult it is for us to be authentic, to be real with who we are. Young adults, that group of young adults that was polled, 75% of them, when asked, when you make real life phone calls, 75% admitted to scripting out what they might say before they make the call. We don't know how to live on the spot in real time and be real with each other. And it isn't just a modern problem. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see Paul writing the church in Corinth. These were new believers, some of them not yet believers. Some of them were Jewish and knew of the Old Testament writings. They grew up hearing about the law of Moses and the teachings of Moses. And they heard about this one story, how Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt. And on their way to the promised land, they stopped at this mountain, Mount Sinai. It was Moses' direction by God to come up to the top of the mountain and to meet with him for 40 days and 40 nights to receive instruction from the Lord to pass on to the nation of Israel and to eventually to the rest of the world. And so something miraculously and powerfully happened when Moses was in God's presence. Another point from another message. We have to practice the power of presence, being in each other's lives. The more we're in each other's lives, the more transformation can come. Moses was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down from the mountain, there was something really mysteriously wonderful. He had this glow on his face, as if like the glory of God was being shown on him. And the story goes on to say that later Moses put a veil over his face. And for a long time when I read that, I thought he didn't want to brag. He didn't want people to like look at him and say, oh, wow, he's been with God. But it wasn't that at all. Paul actually sets us straight to see that Moses was trying to hide what was happening. The glory of God was fading. And he didn't want the nation of Israel to see, oh, no, he's not been with God for a while. And he didn't want to be judged for what was really happening. So he put this veil on his face. Let's look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm actually going to start in verse 12. Your notes say 13, but I don't want to miss verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, and we do have hope, in Christ we have hope, and hopefully by the end of this service, you'll see that clearly. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face. For what reason? A veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ can it be taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we're going to come back and we're going to break all this down today. And we all, who with what? Unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So today, my hope is that we see what unveiled living can truly be like, and that we can see how in our lives we live behind veils of our own, just like what was happening back in the days of Moses. We lived so that people don't see the real us. And so, how do we do this? Well, verse 13 broke out and shared that Moses put this veil over his face to prevent Israel from seeing what was really happening. So many times in our own way, we live the same way. We don't want people to see the real us. So we put up this mask. We put up this veil. We hide behind so that people don't see the real us. Verse 14 goes on to say, but their minds were made dull. These were the Israelites, those who were hearing the law of Moses. Back in the Old Testament, the laws were there to point us to God, not save us. They were to show us that we needed a Savior. So Moses was there to share with the people the truth of why we needed a Savior. The laws were there, the 613 laws in the Old Testament. Some of you thought there was just 10. There's really a lot more. There are the 10 commandments, but there were a lot more laws, and they pointed out laws about all kinds of things to show us our brokenness and to show us our need for a Savior. And what this verse goes on to say is that even when they read Moses and the laws in the Old Testament, their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read, and it has not been removed because only Christ can take that away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil not only covers their face, but covers their hearts. So when they'd go to the covenant, they would hear these things, they wouldn't understand them. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, this actually is a verse that gives us a definition for what's going on. Paul says that the God of this age, and the word God there has a little g. It's not talking about the God Jehovah, the God the Father. It's talking about the God of this world, Satan. It goes on to say, and the God of this age has blinded their hearts and minds so that they cannot see the truth. And that's what's happened in our culture, is a lot of people have been lied to by the enemy and have been taken down another road, saying you don't need Jesus. You can make life on your own, or you don't need Jesus. There's another way that's easier, that's more in line with your lifestyle. And Satan, his job is not to make you evil. His job is to keep you away from Jesus. And so no matter what he does, he's going to try and do everything he can to deceive you and to blind your heart and mind to the real truth of who Jesus is. It goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We're going to hit that more in just a few minutes. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all of us here, who are now living with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, we need to figure out how to not just live this way of living a veiled life. By our nature, when someone catches you doing something wrong, when there's something you don't want seen, what do we naturally do? We hide it. If there's something, some sin in our life that's become exposed or revealed, instead of confessing it and admitting it, our nature is to defend it, to justify it, to hide behind it. We don't want people to see our brokenness and our weakness. We want them to see the real. Never let them see you sweat. Don't ever touch my hands, okay? They sweat a lot. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. But that's the idea of our culture, is be strong. Don't be weak. Don't let them see the real you. Let them see the you you're aspiring to be. And this goes back all the way to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created. They were given a perfect life, perfect opportunities, and yet they were deceived, and they chose to go their own way and to disobey God. And what did they do immediately? They went and hid from what they did. They thought they could somehow cover up the real them. And God, you know, it's really interesting. He comes and he's going, looking through the garden, and he's looking for them. Adam, Eve, where are you? He knew what they did. Have you ever been with a child who did something wrong and they're hiding? And you know where they are, but you just kind of play along with it. Hey, where are you? Come on out. You ever done that? It's kind of what God's doing here with Adam and Eve. You know, he's looking for them. He knows exactly what they are. God's thinking, I know that you know that I know that you know. You know what I mean? You know, right? And from the beginning of time, we've wanted to hide from our sin. We've wanted to keep the real us from being seen and exposed. And yet God calls us to live a life of openness, to live a life of confession, letting our weakness be seen, coming to him and presenting ourselves to him wholly, not the people we wish we were. And Moses lived the same way. He had this veil covering his face so the Israelites would not see what was going on. And we don't just do this in social media. We do this in real life. If I were to come up to you and ask how you're doing, oh, things are fine. Oh, great. How's your family? Oh, couldn't be better. When you know in reality, things are not good at all. And you could use some help if you were willing to be open enough about it. How's your marriage? Oh, things are great. We had some great, great date the last, yeah, that was probably the only date you've had in a year, if you're honest. We've got to be more real and open with each other. But there's a right way to do that. I want you to know that in our lives, we can experience this freedom. One of the verses was, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. And I've experienced freedom in my own life in a big way. For a long time, I was living under bondage of approval and acceptance from others. And what got in the way of that was my sweaty hands. Now, some of you laugh, and I'm about to gross you out. But my hands get really sweaty. Some of you shook my hand when you came in today. You're like, okay, he's not lying. I've sat here at times throughout my life, and I'm praying, and I look down, and there's a puddle on the floor. Okay, there you go. There's a picture from my yearbook. I did a little ballet when I was a senior in high school. I was the guy in the ballet, okay? I got to lift this girl. She would do all these cool stuff, and I just got to be cool and lift her. And oftentimes she'd slip because my hands were so sweaty. So she put this article in my yearbook about going and getting medical attention for my sweaty hands. Okay, you can take that down. All right. But you know what? It got to the point to where we went to this church for a seat. That is not necessary. We attended this church for a while where the pastor thought it was really cool to end service with a prayer where everybody held hands. That was the nightmare of my life, especially if there was a pretty girl right over there across the aisle that I had to hold their hand. Mom, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom, okay? And I'd slip out. I would get so anxious over this, but I have been set free now. I don't care. You can come and shake my hand, and if you get wet, oh well, okay? I've been set free. We all need to find freedom and be the real us. What veil are you hiding behind? When you look at your life, what areas do you try to keep hidden, keep secret? Are you a mom that wishes you could be with your kids more? And you wish you could bake cookies for your kids every time they come home from school so you could be present? And you want the world to see that, so the opportunity you get to finally maybe come home from work early and you bake cookies and then you get your phone out and you're like, look at me, I'm being a good mom, I'm making cookies. And that's the mom we want people to see. Maybe you're the dad and you're always busy. You find it really hard to have time with your kids. And on this one particular day, you go to the park with your kids and you're pushing the kids on the swing and you're like, whoa, I want to capture this moment. And not just capture it, I want the whole world to look at me, I'm a good dad. I'm pushing a kid on a swing. And we put it out there so the whole world will see how good of a dad we are. Maybe you're the protein shake guy and you just made the shake, you're trying to get in shape, you're trying to live a fit life, be healthy, and you put the picture of that protein shake out knowing you just ate a whole bag of chips. And you regularly dine at the altar of Breyer's ice cream. Amen? A lot of us, if we're real about who we are, there are some veils in our lives that need to be removed. And we need to stop living the kind of life that we think everybody else wants to see. So let's be honest with ourselves. Are we going to go through life only posting things that are honest? My hope is that we would, be honest in real life and we'd be honest on social media. But let me also say this. There are some things that just should not be posted. There are some things that we should just keep to ourselves and be open about, but be sharing life face to face and not thumbs to thumbs. There are some things that you should have one or two people that are close, maybe a few others that are close in your life that you can remove the veil, that you can be real with and say, you know what? My marriage is not going well. I need your help. We need your help. Will you pray for us? Will you help us to get counseling? We need that kind of reality in our lives with other people, not on social media. This one post I saw was this woman really mad at her husband. My husband is such a jerk. Please pray for our family. Unless Jesus changes his heart, I want him out of my life forever. When I saw that post, I was thinking, yeah, I'll pray for him because he's married to you. Who posts that kind of stuff out in the public? There are some things that just should not be put out there on social media. We need to be real about those things, and we need to find people in our life that we can be real with, but putting it on social media is not always the smartest thing. So, how do we do this? I want us to encourage us to do a couple things. First of all, instead of living life, putting on the veil, and putting posts out there, hoping for likes, we take that picture, we get it just perfect. Some of us, I've even seen people go through the extent of planning out the perfect selfie. Get everything right just here. Okay, now I'm sure this will get a ton of likes. Click. How sad is that? That we're living for likes while we're longing for love and real relationships. You might get a few likes, but you're still going to feel empty because that isn't going to give you the depth and the relationship that you want. Verse 15 says this, 2 Corinthians 3:15 says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. The next blank for you is a veil that first covers the face, eventually covers the heart. The point I want to make here is that we're raising up a generation that is living such a filtered life that they don't know how to be real about their problems, their struggles. When polled, when this group of young adults was polled and they were asked, why don't you open up? Many of them said, I'm afraid they won't like the real me if they see what's really going on. And we live this filtered life. The conversation went on to say that many of them don't even know how to have real open conversations about the real struggles in their life. They don't even know where to begin. And so we go through life with a veil, and it eventually covers up our whole life. Sociologists and counselors have begun to say that we are forgetting who we are. We don't even know our real selves often. We don't know how to get the help we need. We don't know how to solve the problems in our life because we're hiding from them. We're trying to disguise them and cover them up so that we can be accepted and affirmed by others in society. And you know what this is called? When we're one thing but living life another? It's called hypocrisy. And no, God doesn't want us to live that way. God calls us to be real with each other, to let the veil come down so that we can connect with one another. So, how do we do this? We need to realize that we can go through life impressing people. A lot of times I've seen people's posts online, and I'm like, wow, they got to go there. That's so impressive. Look at that opportunity they had with their family. I wish I could be doing that. We can impress people with those kinds of things. But you know how we really connect with one another? When we let our weaknesses be known. When you share, you know what, I'm struggling in my life, someone can look at you and say, you know what, I like you because you struggle with the same things I struggle with. I can connect with you on that level. I might not be able to do what you do or be able to replicate in my life what you've posted online, but when you show that you're broken and you're weak, then I know you're real. And many times we can connect on a deeper level when we are real with one another and we show one another the real us. So, here's about the time when I would share with you some good applications, some ways that you can take this and make this real in your own life. I could stand here today and I could say, you should leave here from today, instead of filtering everything, maybe don't filter all your posts. Maybe just put out there what you really feel, when appropriate. Maybe when you take pictures, don't blur the backgrounds all the time. That could be possibly good advice. Maybe have you ever seen those awkward cutouts where someone's got a picture of themselves and they just awkwardly cut out whoever was standing next to them? Maybe leave that person in, okay? That could possibly be good advice. Who knows? Maybe the picture shouldn't be up there. I don't know. If your hands sweat, join me and we'll make puddles together. That would be good advice. I could stand here all day and give you good advice, but the truth is you're not here for good advice. What you should be here for is godly advice. And the truth is that we can't go through life removing our own veils. Only Christ can remove the veil in our lives. Only Christ. Verse 16 says this. It says, and I want you to read this with me. Verse 16. But whenever anyone, what? Turns to the Lord. Let's back up. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Only Christ can remove the veils that we have in our lives. So many of us, we lived a veiled life, and Christ wants us to become unveiled, to become real with one another. And maybe you're here today for this very point. You're living a pretend life. You're not maybe pretending like you did when you were little, playing cops and robbers or playing mom and babies, but you're pretending to have it all together as a mom or a dad or fill in the blank. And we need to stop pretending and start living a real life. We need to let Christ come into our life and remove the veils so that we can get down to the heart of who we truly are and who God wants us to be. Instead of turning to everyone and everything in this world for affirmation and acceptance and approval, let us turn to Jesus. It said, anyone who turns to the Lord, the veil will be removed. Let us stop turning to things that will give us a temporary, momentary form of affirmation and pleasure. And let us come clean to who God really is. He died on a cross because he knows the struggles in your life and he wants to take care of them. He wants you to come to him just as you are. And suddenly, when you realize this, you're not living life trying to get the attention and approval of everyone else around, but you're living instead for the approval that comes from God, pouring himself into your life, and he is giving you motivation and inspiration to make it through even the toughest and darkest of times in our life. We need to live for him instead of living for likes from other people. When we come to realize this, we can see that Christ, the Bible describes him as the groom, and the church, the bride of Christ, you and I, we are that bride that he loves. And in a beautiful wedding, the bride will come down the altar, come to the groom, and the groom, in a way that only he can, will lift up the veil from the bride and accept her just as she is. And only Jesus can do this for you and I and all of us. Warts and all, Jesus loves us just as we are, and he invites us to himself. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And Jesus loves you just like you are. Broken pieces and all, the mess of your life. He wants to take you just as you are and love on you and meet you in that mess. But he loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. And he wants to come in and show you what true living is all about. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And if we begin to realize this, we see that our identity is not wrapped up in the approval and acceptance of others. Our identity is not in how many followers we have, but in who we are following. Are you following after Jesus? If you become a follower of Christ, look what happens next. Verse 17. When the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is freedom. So as Christ comes and he lifts up that veil in your life, and those things you don't want anybody to see are exposed, Jesus comes in and sets you free. He comes in and helps take care of those addictions. He comes in and helps by the power of his Holy Spirit to put the broken pieces just together in a way that will glorify him. And he meets you in the midst to love on you, not to judge you. The scriptures say that Jesus came to love, not to condemn the world, to meet you. And the condemnation comes when we reject Christ and we say, no, I don't want you to see the real me. The scriptures say that men love the darkness instead of the light, because in the darkness we can hide and the real us isn't seen. But when we come to Jesus, the light in our life, the veil is removed, the brokenness is seen, and healing begins. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Spirit is here, and he wants to bring freedom to your heart and to your lives, to show you what unveiled living is truly all about. In verse 18, we see that we, when we arrive at this point of realizing that Jesus loved us so much to die on a cross for us, and this veil is removed, it goes on to say that when we all of us, we, not me, but we, when we have our veils removed, we go on contemplating the Lord's glory. We're not obsessed with thinking about ourselves and our own way and our own happiness. We begin becoming obsessed with the things of God and his loving on us and his loving through us on other people. And we get obsessed with living for God and seeing his glory known. We contemplate the Lord's glory. And then the beginning of transformation starts. And it says, in being transformed into his image with everlasting glory. Are you hiding behind a veil today? Are you putting out images that aren't the real you, but they're the me that you want people to see? Jesus wants to meet you here today to show you who you can be in him. The truth here today is that when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Jesus wants to remove the veils in our lives. He wants to show us how he can meet us right where we are. Just as I am, the old song said, just as I am, I come to you, Lord Jesus. You remove the veils. You meet me in the midst of my mess, and you show me the kind of life that you've called me to live. If we turn to the Lord, he can work miracles in our life. He can remove the veils, and that's what he calls each of us to. Let us pray. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Father God, I pray for those of us in this room who are living behind veils. And the truth is that's many of us, myself included. God, there are so many times when I don't want the truth of whatever I'm struggling with to be known. God, show us how to be unveiled by you. God, I also pray that you show us how to live real lives of authenticity. God, you've surrounded us with people in our lives to live life with, to walk through the tough times, to strengthen each other, to sharpen each other, to pull out the best in one another. But God, this is only possible if we put our eyes on you, because God, we can't make ourselves better. But you come and you meet us in the midst of our mess. And you make beautiful things of our lives. Not so that we can get affirmation from other people, God, but so that we can bring you glory. So that, God, the working of you in our lives can be a sign pointing back to you, so others can see in the midst of their darkness hope that comes from a life found in you. So, God, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that needs this hope, that needs to know that they have a reason to live, and that reason is you, that they don't have to run through life hiding from their sin. They can bring it to you and confess it to you, saying, God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. I confess my sins. God, come in and make me new. Take the old away. Show me how to live and show me how to follow you. God, I pray if there's somebody in this room who has never cried out to you in that way, that they would do it right now, here in this moment. Lord Jesus, come in and make me new. If that's you here today, I want to pray for you. If you would say, yes, I need to be made new. I'm tired of living behind a veil. I'm tired of showing people the me I want people to see, and I want to be real. I want Jesus' love in my life. I want his forgiveness. I want his acceptance, and I invite him into my life right now to make me new. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Put your hand in the air. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Any others? Put your hand in the air. Yes, I see that hand in the back row. Thank you. God, I thank you so much for those who are in this room, who are being real with themselves, not hiding behind a veil, not playing pretend anymore, but God, here I am, mess and all. Anyone else, raise your hand. God, take me just as I am. I see your hands. Thank you. I take you just as I am. God, you take us just as we are, mess and all. You want us to be made new, and that can only be done through you. So come, God, in the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, make us new. God, remove the veils. And show us, God, how to take one step at a time, being transformed by your love, being transformed by your power and your presence in our lives, so that we can live the kind of life you've called us to live, so that we can point others back to you. God, I also pray for those in this room who have called out to you, who know that you are their Savior, who know that you are there to forgive them, but God, we're honest, we're struggling. We're not living the life you've truly called us to live. God, and we need some veils taken away. We need to stop playing games. We need to get some people in our life that can help us with our habits, that can help us with our struggles. God, and I pray for those in this room that that applies to. If you are a brother and sister in Christ and you would say, I need that. I need someone in my life I can be real with. I need someone who can help me to be better, help me to be stronger, help me to live the unveiled life that Christ is calling me to live. I would love to pray for you. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Brothers and sisters, I need Christ more in my life so I can live the kind of life he's calling me to live. God, I pray right now for those who are raising their hands. God, meet us in these moments and take us to the next. Help us, God, to find our identity as followers of you, following you, obeying you, letting you lead us through even the storms in life, the times when it would be easier just to run and hide. God, help us to come to you, letting you love us, confessing our brokenness, our weakness, letting you put us together. As we continue to pray this morning, we have prayer teams in the back. I would love to pray with you if you'd like to come up to the front. If you've given your heart to Christ, or if there's some struggle in life that you want prayer with, we want to pray with you. And let us remember that all of these answered prayers, all of this hope is only found in Christ. And because of what he did for us on a cross, when his body was broken for us, when his blood was shed, and we remember this together as a family by taking communion with one another. So when you feel like you're ready to celebrate the life that Jesus gave up so that you and I could live today to take communion, I want to invite you to come up and to receive the elements, remembering that Christ died for us so we can live for him. So take your time. Let God speak to you. Pray as the worship team leads us. Pray with our teams in the back. Come up to the front. I'd love to celebrate the working of God in your life with you. And when you're ready, come and take communion. Father God, move among us now. Holy Spirit, come and bring your loving touch. Bring your powerful, transforming power into our lives. We need you. Come and be present, and let our hearts be yielded to your presence. In your name I pray.
Holy Spirit.